This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
Many of you were actually with us a couple of years ago in 2017 when we introduced Naples. And we said that we are making a huge commitment to the data center, and we meant it.
BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Rich Bradbury, and those were the words spoken by Dr. Lisa Su, President and CEO of AMD, at the keynote address of the launch of the second generation AMD EPYC in San Francisco recently. I had a chance to be there in beautiful San Francisco and got to see and be blown away by some of the things that AMD are doing with this new processor. I'd like to thank AMD for the opportunity and Edelman over here in Malaysia for setting that up, so thanks for that. So what have AMD been doing since the launch of the Gen 1 chip? Well, if the company in the room and on stage are anything to go by, a lot. There were some bold performance claims for this chip, codenamed Rome. The term record-breaking was used more than once. And AMD managed to get some of the big names to come out and say just how good their new product line is. Names like Google, Twitter, Microsoft, you know, anyone who's anyone seemed to be there. It seemed perfectly apt that the launch should take place at the Palace of Fine Arts, designed by Bernard Maybeck. He took his inspiration from Roman and ancient and Greek architecture. This was a chip that AMD are clearly very, very happy with.
So we've done a lot over the last couple of years, and I'm really excited about everything that we've done. But today is the next huge, huge step in that journey as we talk about the next generation. So let's just spend a minute of background, right? You guys know all of this. You know, if you look at where we are today, you know, data is at the center of our universe. We have an incredible explosion of data in all kinds of applications, in all kinds of workloads, and all of this data requires more compute, more horsepower, more storage, more ability to process, more ability to take action on all of that data. And there are a tremendous number of workloads. It's not a one-size-fits-all. And as a result, you really have to have the best system out there.
For starters, the top-of-the-line Rome CPUs will feature 64 cores, two times as many as from the previous generation of AMD's EPYC, launched back in 2017. That was Zen 1. Now we're looking at Zen 2 and 7 nanometers. Huh? For a lot of people, that won't mean anything, but for computing, trust me, it's a big deal. CPUs are made of billions of tiny transistors, electrical gates that switch on and off to perform calculations, and they take power to do this. And the smaller the transistor, the less power is required. 7 nanometers and 10 nanometers are the measurements of the size of these transistors. This downsizing by AMD to 7 nanometers marks a chance for them to jump past their competitor in performance and bring some seriously strong competition. With smaller transistors, it allows for more density, reducing costs, and allows for more cores. In this case, 64 cores.
The truth is, if you're operating a data center today, you are under immense pressure, okay? Everybody wants more. You want more performance. You want lower total cost of ownership. You want extreme scalability. So you might build your data center today for a certain set of workloads, but frankly, 3 years from now, it might be a different set of workloads. You might have a different mix, and you need that scalability and flexibility. And then, of course, the last piece of it, and we now hear about this every single day, is security. Security is the foundation. We must offer our customers, our users, the entire ecosystem, a secure environment. And that has to be designed in from the ground up. And we've all learned that. So if you take a look at all of this, what does it mean for us? It means that the modern data center actually requires matters, a ton of new thinking. We've got to think differently. And frankly, that's exactly what we believed at AMD. We believed 5 years ago, when we started on this journey for the next generation data center, that you couldn't just do one thing. It's not about just the chip. It's not about just the processor. It's about how do you put all of those things together? How do you really think about it in totality? And so that required, certainly, we developed an all-new CPU and GPU architecture.
Now, AMD claim that Rome's CPUs are delivering up to twice as much performance as their competitors. But don't just take my word for it. Here's Scott.
Yeah, my name is Scott Ehler. I'm Corporate Vice President and General Manager of the Data Center Solutions business at AMD. The advancements that we've made over and above our prior generation and also relative to our competitor in the market means that we have double the core density over and above the prior generation. And when you look at how that core density and all the advancements we have at the platform level, it means that, you know, you'll be able to see dramatic uplifts in performance. So think about over and above our prior generation, which was very competitive, we have 2x the performance. And you'll also see similar competitive measures that are in that range.
Now, okay, it's okay to have all of these cores and all of this speed and record-breaking capabilities, but what about the things like economics? If data centers are already set up with AMD's first-gen chips, or even their competitors, what would they do when they need to upgrade? How does that work?
Okay, Scott, how do you see, moving forward, AMD's involvement in data center and future-proofing of data centers?
One of the important things is when we build our technology, we look at the ability for it to provide longevity and value over time. So when you look at what we've done in our EPYC first generation products and now kind of building that on second generation products here today, one of the important things is we actually keep platform compatibility between the generation of products. And this means that as our customers and partners invest in platforms, it can actually be something that not only survives, but thrives over the course of several generations, allowing their data centers to kind of be more stable and have their ability to kind of amortize those costs over time.
Okay, so I didn't just stop talking with just the AMD people, though. I managed to kind of mingle with some of the vendors after the keynote and get some of their thoughts on real-world cases. So I managed to catch up with this guy called Terry Myers. He was one of the representatives from Amazon's AWS.
Cloud computing, AWS.
Yes.
Obviously, Amazon, huge player in this market. What is it about the AMD EPYC Gen 2 that you guys have just gone, you know what, this is what we're going to be using from now on?
Well, one thing that Gen 2 does is totally changes the economics of providing virtualized platforms for mega data centers and even, you know, tier 2, tier 3 hosting providers. Allows them to serve more customers in the same power envelope, more customers within the same rack, because of the performance gains and the additional cores. So you're able to put more virtual machines in the same space so they can serve more customers. So the economic model for them is better, and they can either take that as a profit or they can pass it on to their customers as a savings, as AWS does with a 10% cost differential for customers for relatively the same performance within that, you know, the sphere of whatever workload you're working with.
So what about like data centers that have already got stuff in place?
Correct.
You know, they've already got like Gen 1s in place, you know, and you're seeing the numbers for Gen 2 and you're looking at these massive leaps in performances, you know, how do you make that decision to kind of upgrade from what you already have to what look like ridiculously powerful numbers?
So I haven't seen the numbers about, because you have to take into account for depreciation and all of that, right? So if I'm within a five-year depreciation cycle, I'm in year 2, it's an interesting bit of number crunching you got to do. But I mean, when we're talking cloud providers doing virtual machines, they're seeing, we've done the numbers, you can get a 54% TCO advantage. So if you take, you spread that across, you know, what you already have in place, the math can be pretty compelling. For folks like AWS, they're still running on our Naples platform, so it's Gen 1, but they're still getting enough benefit from that platform through memory bandwidth capabilities and the ability to serve customers, you know, more efficiently for specific workloads. So it's not, it's memory bound workloads we're very good at. With the Naples platform, with the SKUs that were picked for AWS, it's not so good for CPU bound kind of things. So that's not where we're positioned, right? So where they positioned us, relatively the same performance, 10% lower cost, very easy to transition because of applications compatibility. So basically, it's a few lines of code or a simple change within a console, and a customer can save 10%. So it doesn't sound like much, but if you start to do aggregate for someone that says running 10,000 microservices per day or something, on a per day basis, a couple thousand dollars. On a yearly basis, you're talking $800,000, $900,000. So the economics become very compelling.
Now, after speaking with Terry, I wandered around a little while and I spotted a familiar logo, that of Samsung, and curiosity got the better of me and I wandered over to take a look. Now, this is how that conversation went.
Okay.
Go ahead. So what is Samsung doing with AMD and EPYC?
We are really taking advantage of AMD EPYC through the massive performance increase that it provides. So what we're doing, what we're showing here is essentially what I like to refer to as a concept car.
Okay.
So this is a current generation 4-node server. It supports 8 DIMMs per node. It also has 24 NVMe drives across the server, so 6 drives per node. What Samsung provides is the Gen 4 SSD, as well as 256 gig DIMMs. So you're talking 2 terabytes of DRAM per node, as well as taking advantage of all of the throughput that you get with AMD Rome's Gen 4 PCIe capability. So our personal testing on the PC, on our PM1733, our Gen 4, we can get read throughput of up to 1.5 million IOPS. So really basically what we're showing here is look how fast, how performance dense you can get with AMD Rome.
Is it a no-brainer?
I think so. If you're looking for performance, whatever your workload is, if you need that kind of density, this is a 4-node, 2U system. You can really cram, you know, a Ferrari into something the size of a VW Beetle here. So,
and should the competition be worried?
Absolutely. They should really, really be worried about what we can do, because our Gen 4 product is going to be available later this quarter. We'll be actually announcing that we were showing it off tonight, tomorrow morning, in a press release. And this is not in the far future. This is, we're talking by the end of the year. So,
Darren, thank you for your time.
Absolutely.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, thanks for clearing that up, Darren. Now, and finally, something that really, really impressed me and literally blew me away. I'd never seen anything like this. I wandered around and there was a screen, and on this screen was the clearest images of video that I had ever seen. And these were images of 8K from a company called Beamer, who encode video in real time using the AMD EPYC Rome chip. Not just any video, 8K video on the fly. Have a listen to what this guy Sharon had to say. Sharon, from Beamer, tell me who Beamer are and what they do.
So what we're doing is we're developing high performance video encoders for multiple MPEG standards like AVC and HEVC. We are taking great pride of having the world's best performance for software and software scaling. What we're showing here with AMD on the EPYC Rome is our ability to scale over 64 cores with the AMD EPYC. And what you're seeing in the demo is 8K, 60 frames per second, live video encoding with EPYC Rome. We were very happy to take the challenge because we never ran on 64 cores before. This is the first time.
What were you running on before?
All of the x86 platform can run our software, and every time there's a new innovation in the field, like the 64 cores from EPYC, we are always up for the challenge, you know, to see where we can get with it. And before we had access to 64 cores, we could not run 8K P60 in this amazing quality. And this is the first time, and we're very proud, you know, to have it and to show a new use case. The Tokyo Olympics are going to be broadcasted in 8K. So you have the capture, you can buy the screens, but who's going to deliver?
Right.
Yeah, and this is what we're bringing. We're bringing a solution for video compression. Another thing which is not just limited to 8K is the total cost of ownership story. If we're scaling linearly with the platform, and the platform is claimed to be 2x efficient, that means that every video encoding done with our software on the AMD platform is going to be 2x efficient in terms of TCO for video coding.
So people are going to be saving money, they're going to be seeing things encoded faster and clearer.
Absolutely, that's the goal. Better, faster is good. It's awesome.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you very much, Rich.
So in short, what AMD are doing with Epic Rome is pretty phenomenal. The AMD Epic Rome 7002 Rome CPU lineup and the Epic 7742 64 core is the highest performance x86 processor in the world. They are wiping the floor with their competition in terms of price, speed, and performance. Go online, look at any of the results. Look at any of it. They've teamed up with Google, who announced at the event that they plan to deploy the chip on their cloud platforms. Twitter will be deploying it within their data centers, which reduces total cost of ownership by around 25%. Microsoft, Hewlett-Packard will be using it on their virtual machines. The US Air Force Weather Agency will be taking advantage of the chip. Lenovo and Dell even announced that they will be using them in their servers. They're reducing total cost of ownership. They're reducing the amount of energy produced. It's twice as fast as some of the other chips out there, including the former chip they released just a couple of years ago. Frankly, what AMD are doing with this chip, all puns aside, is epic. It is changing the way that data centers, cloud computing, everything that we know and powers the internet is, will change over the next couple of years if people are using these AMD chips. Hands down. My name is Rich Bradbury for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Tech Talk, made possible by TM1. To learn more, visit tm1.com.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.